Looking at Romans 1, verse 29, the result of a people, a society being given over by God to a reprobate mind. Being filled with, that is, a reprobate mind brings a saturation. And then he mentions several things. He begins with unrighteousness, which really is just a summation, a generality of all sin. It does declare the character of all sin. It's unrighteous. It's anti-right. It's against right. He then mentions fornication and wickedness. And then we come to the word covetousness. We all covet by nature. It's in us. We're born with it. But what we're talking about here is being filled. We're talking about a society or people given over to a reprobate mind that is filled with covetousness. Most people, when they think of covetousness, and it's probably the most common, but they think of money or wealth. But covetousness, of course, is not limited to that. Covetousness is excessive. So it's excessive by its very meaning. Now think about that. Being filled with that which is excessive, that's beyond excessive. And that's what happens to society. Covetousness is excessive, undue, unnecessary desire. But it is a desire without due regard for God or the matters of God, has it used in the Word of God. Covetousness is really perhaps the most basic definition would be selfish ambition. We teach our children to be ambitious. Nothing wrong with being ambitious. I wish society was more ambitious about some things and less ambitious about some things. But it's selfish ambition. Behind covetousness is always self. Always. So it has its root in selfishness. Selfishness has its root in pride. So it's pretty hard to separate the two, selfish and pride. Where there's one, there's the other. So it's something that has its root in self and pride. Another definition is ravenous or an avid hunger, a craving, and a longing. Just by that definition, we see it's not limited to material wealth. The list is endless. What could be the object of what we covet? Most of the time, covetousness is linked somewhere along the line to wealth, somewhere along the line. The problem is everybody has a different definition of wealth. Most of us would think that if you have $1 million, you're wealthy. But a millionaire doesn't think that. He doesn't think that. So it varies. Covetousness is approved by the world. In fact, if we think about it, we were raised to be covetous. They didn't sit us down and say, now we're going to teach you how to be covetous. No, but you think about a lot of life's lessons as a child. And again, there's in a lot of ways, there's nothing wrong with those lessons. There's some good in them. But in a lot of ways, it's just another word for covetousness. When a parent says, I want my children to have it better than me, that's covetousness. It's covetousness for them. You can be covetous for another person. Covetousness is approved by the world. And to some degree, covetousness is approved by all of us in some way. But it's hated by God. It's hated by God. Notice in Psalm 10, and verse 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Whom the Lord abhorreth. It's also an object of his anger. It has been throughout history. Notice in Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57. Verse 17. For the iniquity of his covetousness. Okay, again, the word iniquity refers to that which is twisted. Every sin has iniquities within that sin. That's why sometimes you see them listed separately. Forgive me my sins and iniquities. There's sins and then there's iniquities within those sins. For the iniquity of his covetousness. So, covetousness, just like any other sin, does not stand alone. There's iniquities within, that which is twisted within. Was I wroth and smote him? I hid me was wroth, and he went unfrowardly in the way of his heart, which would have been a covetous heart. The covetous are described in Proverbs 15, verse 27, as those who are greedy of gain. That is, gain of self. Now, is all gain covetousness? Well, of course not. But it's, again, it's agreed with an undue respect or acknowledgement of God. We all have had gain throughout our lives. We first got married. Our furniture today is much better than it was when we first got married. The place we live is probably much better than the place. Does that mean we were greedy of gain? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But there are those who are greedy of gain. That is, it becomes their life. Becomes their life. Now, when you want to buy whatever, a new sofa or new house, and you just about starve your kids to death to get there, that's greedy of gain. That's greedy of gain. That's covetousness. Or you put the Lord's house behind those things and spiritual things. The greediness of gain has overtaken other things. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Labor not. Now, there's some people today who would put a period right there and stop reading. Labor not. But there's no period there. Labor not to be rich. In other words, we're to labor and there's a proper purpose for labor. But it's not to be rich. And again, the problem is different people have different ideas of what's rich, and it's relative. Cease from thine own wisdom. In the strict context, our own wisdom teaches us to labor to be rich. But the Bible says labor not to be rich. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? So there's covetousness. This person is laboring, they've set their eyes on a goal. But that goal is material, and when it comes right down to it, is not. Doesn't really matter. For riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away as an eagle toward heaven. We're to labor. We're not to labor to be rich. Proverbs 28, verse 22, pretty much along those same lines. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. The sin is not being rich. The sin is hasteth to be rich. The sin is the desire, which brings us to covetousness. And considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. You say, well, that's not so. I know people who've labored to be rich and they still have nice things. That's not what that's talking about. Spiritual poverty will come upon him. Spiritual poverty. There is a poverty worse than material poverty. And that's spiritual poverty. I have known of people who have bankrupted themselves spiritually working and bankrupted their family working. It happens all the time. And it's covetousness. 1 Timothy 6. This is a verse, passage that is often misapplied, taken out of context. People don't pay attention to what it says. A good truth to learn is godliness with contentment is great gain. We all need more contentment. We brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. I've preached a lot of funerals. I've yet to see a U-Haul in the cemetery. You don't take it with you. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But here's where people misinterpret Scripture. But they that will be rich fall into temptation. It does not say they that are rich fall into temptation. That's not what it says. He's talking about a desire here. They that will be rich. That is, it is their determination to be rich. They are covetous individuals. They fall into temptation. They bring temptations into their lives that they normally would not have. And a snare. There's traps. For all those who desire, I've got to get more, I've got to get more, I've got to get more. There's all kinds of traps for you to fall into. And sadly, many have fallen in those traps, and that's where they live the rest of their life. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts or desires. Foolish. Always chasing for more. Always wanting more. Foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men, these foolish and hurtful lusts, which stems from the desire to be rich, drown men in destruction and perdition. He's not condemning wealth. He's not condemning that. God blesses some people with wealth. That's just the way it is. And someone having more money than you doesn't mean they're covetous. The truth is, the poor can be more covetous than the rich. Really, wealth, poverty has really nothing to do with covetousness. It's the desire. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It does not say money is the root of all evil. That is not what it says. It's the love of money. That's covetousness. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. I could make a list of people that I have seen that happen to. For the love of money, they have erred from the faith. I know a man, he's an elderly man now. I pastored him 35 years ago. He was a covetous individual, worked all the time to get more. And within the last couple of years, he has called me and said, "Brother Dan, I wish I could live my life over. I wish I would have listened." He's erred from the faith. It happens. Covetousness is a serious thing. And then he addresses the preacher. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Flee what things? The love of money. The love of money. Flee them. And instead of pursuing that, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Being filled with covetousness. And we have a society today that overflows with covetousness. And it's not just the rich. Poor people as well. "Oh, I wish I had what they had." Well, maybe if you go out and get a job, you would. I better stop there because I'm going to get off. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would protect us from the spirit of covetousness. Just help us, Lord, not to be swallowed up with these things. Pray, Lord, that you draw us closer to thee. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.